Hello, church. Pastor Dave here. Hey, so glad to see you. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue in this very unique season of life and of church life in particular. We're so glad you're here. How are things going at your house? I don't know about you, but our house things are pretty good. I got Lacey here with us. She's enjoying the extra human time that she's getting, and we're just doing pretty well. But I have to say, the stress is building. It's been pretty real. And I don't know if that defines your house too, but maybe if it does, I've always wanted to hit that orange face on the down the bottom right there, you know, that little angry face or frustration face. Maybe you want to hit that a few times and just send it and let the stress leave. You know, does that help at all? Hopefully. I don't know. Honestly, though, I shared a verse from Psalm 62. It's just a great verse that reminds us of that we can trust God in the midst of our uncertainty. David was promised to be king, but in that moment, he literally was running for his life from his own son who wanted to kill him. So he had such this incredible promise of the future, but in the moment, he was living in such uncertainty. And I think many of us find us there with deep loss or uncertainty at this moment of what does it look like going forward? And so here are these words of David. When everything was stripped from him, he came back to his love for the Lord and he said, "I find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I will not be shaken." I hope that encourages your heart today. I hope you can join David in saying in the midst of this time that you will not be shaken. You will continue to trust the Lord and keep your eyes focused on him. That's certainly what we want to do as a church family. And that's why we're meeting here this morning, just to encourage one another in our love for the Lord, our love for others. So glad to see you. We have a great lineup today. I have a few things to cover. Then Missy, our children's ministry director, she's got some advice for young families. Pastor Aaron will follow her up. And then Pastor Jerry is going to close it out. So it should be a great morning together. We have our team working behind the scenes that's really going to try to interact and communicate with you. So send them comments, and I just look forward to interacting that way. A key link this morning is eastswamp.org/next. You may want to go open a new tab and go there. There's a few key information there I'd love to communicate. First, if you're new with us, maybe new to church or new to East Swamp, we're just so glad you're here. Know that there's a place here for you at East Swamp Church. The next step card is the first thing on that page, and if you put a name and an email in there, that'll connect you into our weekly and regular communication that goes out. We would love to just say hello and just invite you into our church family that way. Also, if you put a prayer request on there, as a staff, we do our best to pray every week for those prayer requests that come in. So please do that. We'd love to join your family in prayer. The coronavirus updates is another link there. It's how we're responding to this crisis. So we are suspending our gatherings through the end of March. So that's a little bit longer than we originally said. And we will be watching the CDC recommendations next week and evaluating that going forward. So stay tuned that way. And that will impact our registrations. Our Family D class is postponed. So we would love to still know who's coming. And you can tell us through the registration tab there. Go to the Family D class and tell us you're interested, but we will be rescheduling that. Harvey Cedars summer camp signups, they're still happening. The packets have been coming in, so thank you for those who have sent them. And if you need the packet, go online there and download the packet and feel free to reach out with any questions or interactions that way. For our students, hey, really cool. They're going to be trying YouTube Live 7 o'clock tonight for our high school ministry. On Wednesday, then, 7 o'clock for our middle school ministry. And both times, they're going to start with a large group YouTube Live event. And then they're going to break into virtual small groups. It should be really cool if it works. We're trying it. Thanks for your patience. So make sure you check that out. Final thing I wanted to mention was the giving link. We just really appreciate your generosity in this time. It's been awesome to see specifically how God has come through in various situations. But one in particular, there was a family, a part of our church, a newer family that had a need that came up to us late last week. And another family came alongside of them and just counseled them through that. And then another family provided a physical piece of that need that was needed there. And literally in 3 days, you as a church family responded to another family's need in our church. And I just thank you so much. God loves that generosity. And just we just really appreciate that, especially in times of uncertainty. To respond like that is just awesome. That's Jesus, his hands and feet at work right in the moment. So if you're going to want to get a part of our giving family, that link will take you to our website. Right on our website, there's how to join our online giving family. So there's a video there for you if you want to check that out, or obviously you can mail that into the church or connect with the church. We are here. Someone is here typically from 9 to 12 each day. So I think that's about it from me. I'm going to pray, and then Missy's going to share a few things, and then Pastor Aaron's going to bring the message. And then, like I said, Pastor Jerry's going to wrap things up at the end. But we are just so glad you're here with us again. And I don't know, as a family there, or as individuals, if you want to join around together and just gathering close, we're going to just take a moment and cry out to God for help, and this time for his hand in our lives and his blessing over each one that's here with us today. So let's pray. Lord God, in this time of so much uncertainty and loss and change, Lord, more than ever, we need you. Lord, we cry out for your help. Lord, we need your rest. Lord, bring rest to our souls in this moment. Help us to just find the encouragement and find the strength and the hope that we need in you. So I thank you for each one of these families that are gathered around today. I just pray your richest blessing on them. I pray you work in their hearts and their minds today. I pray that through your Spirit, you might encourage each one, that through your word, you might speak right into our lives, that we might be like David, one that when as everything is changing around us, that we keep our hope and our faith and our trust in you. Help us to not be, help us to be people of faith, not living in fear. Help us to feed our faith and to feed our love for you and not feed our fears. So we need your help to do that today, Lord. And I thank you for each one here. I thank you for the blessing of this time together. And just ask that you would go before every aspect. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Missy Fuentes, the Children's Ministry Director here at East Swamp Church. And we call this ministry East Swamp Kids. My goal for this week was to resource you to have meaningful faith-building time together while you're at home. Each week, I send an e-newsletter to our families that shows up in their mailboxes at the end of each week. And in it, we highlight what your children have experienced in Children's Church that Sunday while you were in worship. If you do not get these East Swamp Kids email newsletters, I encourage you now to go to eastswamp.org/next. As Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, there's different buttons that have information on ways to connect. And I think the fourth or fifth button down will say sign up for our East Swamp Kids newsletter. Please do that. Give me your email, and I will make sure that that gets to you probably first thing tomorrow morning when I'm back in the office. So our spring curriculum has moved us out of the Old Testament prophets and into the New Testament. So last week in Children's Church, we would have covered Jesus' birth. So I encouraged you at home to read Luke chapter 2, to play some Christmas carols or bake Christmas cookies with your kids, and celebrate Jesus' birth in March. If you didn't get a chance to do that, it's not too late. Have a Christmas party in your kitchen today or anytime this week. The lesson that we would have explored today in Children's Church is also from Luke chapter 2. It's when Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, took him to the temple to dedicate him. A neat thing that I was able to do this week is set up an online folder with all of our Children's Church curriculum in there so that you could have some continuity at home. Your kids could see the materials that they're used to seeing. So if you go in the link in my newsletter, you will find Bible videos, Bible lesson videos for preschool, for your older elementary school kids. There's activity pages that they can fill out during the week. There's even a neat little video called Question from Kids, where a pastor answers a question that a child wrote in, and it usually ties into the Bible story really well. And it's a great conversation starter for you and your kids to have. There's other resources in my e-newsletter this week as well. The organization ParentQ put out a really great resource on talking to your kids about anxiety, helping them through times of crisis. And those are really great for you to have as you talk to your kids this week. There's also some tips on how to do church at home, simple ways and suggestions to have that meaningful time to connect with one each other, with each other. As I'm wrapping up and Pastor Aaron is getting ready to give his sermon, Guard the Deposit, there is also in that folder a paper called Sermon Notes for Kids that if you're able to print that out, you can give that to your kids to fill out as you are listening to Aaron's sermon together. It's a great way to connect with them, to see what they understood and what they remember from that sermon, to just have a conversation later in the week. Remember, we are here for you and we love you and we want to be an encouragement to you in this uncertain time where you're home, homeschooling and being the activity coordinator and the referee for your kids like I am. Just know that we're here. Email us, call us. We're praying for you and we love you and we hope you have a great week.
Morning, church. Here we are again on a Sunday morning, sitting in our living rooms, and it's weird. It's what we got to do, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at the person next to you in your room, and I want you to say these words to them. We're still here. If you're sitting at home and you're watching this by yourself, I want you to know that you're not alone. The church is with you. Jesus continues to be with you, carrying you. And I want you to comment right now in the comment section, we're still here. Because church, we're still here. We have another day. We have another opportunity to point a broken, scared, hurting, confused world to Jesus. To point them to a hope that goes beyond this life and to the next. We're still here. Let's use the time we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus that we've been called to be. I know that this week has been a really weird week for a lot of us. We've done things that we never thought we would have to do. We went on toilet paper hunts throughout town, some of us coming home unsuccessful. We've watched so much Netflix that I'm convinced some of us might get that screen that says, "You've come to the end." Now, there's other things we've done that maybe aren't so different. I have frequented the Chick-fil-A drive-through probably just as much as I had before. Shout out to Chick-fil-A Quakertown. Great job this week. But in all honesty, many of us have never experienced a time quite like this one. A friend texted me one of those first days where things were starting to get a little bit crazy. And he said, "It feels like the pause button has been pushed on us." And for many of us, that's what this feels like. The pause button has been pressed on everything in our lives. And it's left us to figure out what life looks like for the time being. All of the old patterns of our lives has been put on hold. And so we're suddenly forced to create new patterns. Listen, this can either be a really good thing or it can be a really bad thing. My good friend Mike, he shot out a text to me and a group of friends this week that he was in the process of transforming himself over the next few weeks. His plan is that he'll emerge on the other end of this season of life a different man, one sporting a new mustache, a backward hat, a Hawaiian shirt with one too many buttons undone on the front. And while I'm not totally on board with this transformation, and I'll certainly have to question my friendship with him if this is the road that he decides to go down, it's a good reminder to us that when the pause button is pressed, we have a time to reevaluate, to look back at the patterns by which we've been living our lives. Because the reality is we will all come out of this season a different person. I've been thinking a lot about that idea of patterns we've been living by. And when I hear the word pattern, a verse, a specific verse comes to mind, and maybe it did for you as well. It reminds me of what Paul says in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have been and will continue to be conformed to a standard, to a pattern. I kind of think of two cookie cutters when I think of this idea of being formed and a pattern. We have two cookie cutters that we can be shaped into. We have the cookie cutter of the world. And when that presses down into us, we are shaped into the image and the likeness of this world. Or we have the cookie cutter of God's word. And when that presses into us and molds us, it shapes us into the image of Jesus. All of us are being conformed to one image or another. And as we press pause on life, we reflect, which one has been pressing in to me and shaping me? Is it the cookie cutter of this world? Have I been conformed to the things of this world, to our culture, or have I been shaped by the word of God to look more and more like Jesus every day? What has it been for you at this point? What pattern have you molded your life after? In my home, when we put all of our kids to bed at night, and that's a feat in itself, especially now that they're all at home, no school. When we finally get them to bed, my wife, Kelsey, and I will sit down on the couch and we'll watch Netflix together. And we usually have some sort of series that we're walking through. But it is very rare that I will make it all the way through a full episode without falling asleep. Maybe you're like me in this way, where you're watching a show and you start to doze and you fight it because you want to see what's going on, but eventually you just give in to that sleep. And at that point, usually Kelsey will see me, she'll shout at me to wake me up, and then realize it's not worth it to continue on with the show, and we turn it off and we go up to bed. Now the next night we come back to that show and we start it from where it had stopped. And what I often find when we start that is I realize I have no idea what's going on. I must have dozed off a lot earlier than I thought because I am unaware of this storyline that's taking place. At which time I will press pause and I'll turn to my wife and I'll say, Kels, what has been going on in this show? And we take a moment to reflect on all that has happened in that time where I was starting to doze so that I understand where we are and understand where the story is going to continue to go. The pause button has been hit on life as we know it. Now, unfortunately, some of us have dozed off a few scenes before it did. And while this has been uncomfortable, it does provide us an incredible opportunity to reflect on where we have been to this point in our lives. What has life looked like? What patterns have we been in? And where do we want to go from here? I really wrestled last week as the news came down that we wouldn't be able to meet. It's about Thursday, maybe Friday. I had my message all prepared for last week. And if you've been with us for a while, you know we've been walking through the book of 2 Timothy. And I struggled whether we should continue to walk through 2 Timothy or if we should put it on hold and start something new. And I came to the conclusion that if God truly has this providential care over all things, in his providence, he knew that this would take place. He knew that we'd be studying 2 Timothy. And so surely he wants us to continue. And so I concluded that we're going to continue to press on in 2 Timothy. And I truly believe that the passage we read last week spoke into our lives at that moment. And I believe it will continue to do so this morning. So I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at the first 9 verses today. And we'll put it up on the screen for you, but I want you to see it in your Bibles or on your Bible app this morning to see these aren't Aaron's words. These are God's words, and every single bit of it is useful for teaching us, correcting us, training us in righteousness. And I think God has something pretty cool in store for us this morning in these words as well. As we look at this passage this morning, we're going to see Paul talking about some false teachers who have infiltrated the church. And what we find about these false teachers is they have conformed to the patterns of this world. And I want us to break this down a little bit. I want us to see how Paul describes these false teachers. And I also want us to see how we can avoid patterning our lives after them. So would you join along with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Yannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. As we start to look at this passage, it's important that we don't get too worked up about that statement that Paul uses in the last days. I would imagine that statement can be kind of triggering given the circumstances that we're walking through. I want us to understand that Paul is using this statement in the last days to be much broader than simply the apocalyptic last days idea that we think. When Paul talks about the last days, he's talking about a larger amount of time, specifically one that starts with the coming of Jesus, as Jesus comes from heaven to earth to be born in the flesh. And this last days culminates with Jesus' return. In essence, Paul is saying, Timothy, you and I are in the last days. Church, we are in the last days. If the world continues to go on for another 1,000 years without Jesus returning, they too will be in the last days. And Paul says, in these last days, there are going to be people who have infiltrated the church, who are conformed to the patterns of this world. Now, Paul gives us a lengthy description of what these people will look like. In fact, as we were just reading that passage, half of it was the description of these people. And if you listen really closely, you probably heard me take a number of breaths to just be able to continue to read that list. But what I want us to know is that all of these attributes that Paul is describing can be summed up in the very first statement he uses of these people. They will be lovers of self. Everything else that he talks about after that statement is simply the fruit that is growing from the root. And the root is the fact that they have simply grown so great in their love for themselves. Now, when I say this idea of love for self, this isn't a normal and natural love of life and a love of oneself that we all should have. I'm not saying that we're not to care for ourselves. You and I have longings. We have needs that do need to be addressed. There is definitely something to the idea of self-care. These are things that we're going to address in the summer in our preaching series, so I hope you'll join us for that. this isn't that kind of normal, natural love that we should have for oneself. Rather, this is the kind of love that says, I have chosen to love myself over God. I have chosen a love of self that comes regardless to what God has called me to. This is a selfishness. This is a self-centeredness. This love sets one up to be like a God and feels that nothing else matters as much as the pleasure of themselves. There's a man by the name of R.C. Trench that gives a great illustration of what this looks like, what it looks like to be a lover of self. He says, imagine a lover of self is like a little hedgehog. So sweet when you look at a little hedgehog. Now think about when that little hedgehog rolls up. Inside their soft underbelly, so comfy, cozy. And so they curl up into themselves and keep all that comfy coziness to themselves. The happiness remains inside for themselves. Now on the outside of that comfy little ball is a ton of really sharp spikes. Inside, comfy, reserved for oneself. Outside, spikes for anything that comes in contact with them. It's a love that seeks its own, despite the damage that it might cause to others. In other words, Trench says, lovers of self are like little hedgehogs, little hedgehog balls rolling all around, comfy, cozy, caring for themselves while inflicting damage on those around them. Right now, we have this crazy conundrum in our country. In fact, some are saying it could lead to what they're calling a generational civil war. Here's what's going on out there. We have a group of people who are at great risk of getting really sick from this virus that is going around. Whether it's because of age, whether it's because of medical issues, they're going to be at risk of catching this virus. Now, there's another section of our population that doesn't seem to be at risk. However, in order for those at risk to be spared, it's going to require those who are not at risk to sacrifice. In Italy, we saw that this wasn't something people were willing to do. Now in the United States, we see the same thing. Just before I came up here to preach, I saw an article go up on mainstream news. America needs to learn to sacrifice again. Because here's what we're starting to see. No one is going to tell me what to do. My happiness is what is of utmost importance. And so we roll up into our little ball, caring for ourselves and leaving the spikes for anyone who gets in the way of our happiness. And as we roll along in this way, the little hedgehog ball continues to snowball out of control. And we start to get all these fruits from the root. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. And the list goes on and on. And yet the craziest thing of all is Paul says that we can become like this. The false teachers had become like this. With the appearance of godliness. We can put up this facade of godliness while at our core, we simply love ourselves. To illustrate this further, Paul is going to liken these false teachers who have been conformed to this world. He's going to liken them to two men that we find in the Old Testament. A guy by the name of Yannes and Jambres. And the reason why he brings these two men up is because he wants to illustrate for us the fact that these people and their teaching is very sneaky. We often think that this self of love is going to be so blatant. lovers of self. We'll see that coming a mile away. But Paul's going to give us an illustration here in these two men in which we're going to see it's sneaky. And we can so easily fall into falling in line with this kind of teaching that leads to us being lovers of self. So I want us to look at these two guys, Yannis and Yambres. Hear their story. Now, they're never specifically mentioned anywhere with Moses in the Old Testament. But in Jewish tradition, we find that they are known to be the sorcerers in Exodus 7. Exodus 7 is this really crazy story. Moses and Aaron, they are commanded by God to go in front of Pharaoh. And Aaron has been commanded to take his staff and to throw it down. And when he does, it will turn into a snake. And so these two men march in front of Pharaoh. Aaron takes his staff, throws it down, and sure enough, it turns into a snake. At which point, I would imagine all the men in the room give out a little bit of a girly shriek and then pull themselves together like it's not a big deal that there's a snake crawling around on the ground. Pharaoh looks at this snake, says, big deal, and calls in two men. In come Yannis and Yambres. He says, hey, this guy just threw his staff down. It turned into a snake. You guys mind throwing your staffs down to show him this isn't that big of a deal? And so Yannis and Yambres throw down their staffs, and sure enough, they too turn into snakes. At which point, I would imagine every man in that room is jumping up on the nearest chair because now there's snakes all over the floor. As these snakes are going all around the room, Aaron's snake, powered by and sourced by a holy God, slithers over to the fakes, the replicas, and swallows them up. And it's this story that Paul is going to use to illustrate what these false teachers are like in the church. Now listen, Yannis and Yambres, they were able to pull off a pretty amazing magic trick. They made their staffs to look just like that of Aaron's. You couldn't tell the difference until one swallowed up the other. By analogy, this is what false teachers do. They slither into the church. And they use the same language of the gospel. But they twist its meaning. Their commands may sound like God's commands. They may dress like, look similar, use the same Bible, the same creeds, but they are used to enslave people. But listen, they sneak in. Oh, this sounds so good. And these people, they sound and look so credible. It is so easy for us to fall for the replicas, for the fakes, if we don't know the real thing. And when we do, we fall into the same patterns of self-love that leads to our destruction and the destruction of others. Oh, it sounds so good. It sounds so good and almost right. Church, in the climate of our culture, we need to have discernment to know which patterns we should follow. And sometimes it's not so clear. When so many ways sound almost right, sometimes we have trouble differentiating the snakes. Sometimes we have trouble differentiating the words. It sounds so close to what God says, or sometimes it just sounds so good to our ears. How do we know what's right? How do we know what's wrong? To that, Charles Spurgeon says this: you need discernment. And discernment isn't knowing the difference between right and wrong, but rather right and almost right. Church, in order to have this discernment, we must be in God's word. It could very well be by God's grace to us that the pause button has been hit to force us back on our knees, to bring us back to his word. I was saying to my wife before I came in to preach, I would imagine the next few messages are going to sound exactly the same. Get in God's word. Be in prayer. Be in communion with him. Because church, that's what we need in this moment. Jared Wilson says, sometimes the Spirit leads us right into the valley of the shadow of death so that we might learn to rely more fully on God for our satisfaction and sustenance. If the patterns by which we've lived our lives seems to be more in line with the false teachers spoken of here in Paul's words, it's very likely that this has come about because we have lost sight of God's word. In this time of crisis, we've been given an incredible opportunity to right that ship. But it's only going to come by knowing and obeying God's word that we can discern what patterns to live our lives by. And listen, this has always been the case. This isn't something new. You think back to the story of Jesus when the Spirit leads him into the desert. And as he's being led out into the desert, Satan comes and begins to tempt him, offering all kinds of enticing things to him, offering him food when he's hungry, offering him power, all these really great sounding things. And how did Jesus discern what the right direction was, what pattern was right for him to live in? It was by going back to Scripture. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds almost right. But here's what Scripture says. Now think of the fall of Adam and Eve. They too were baited by Satan with enticing offers. Satan even began by undermining Eve's sense of God's authoritative words by saying, "Did God really say?" And at first, Eve was able to correct the misunderstanding. No, actually, God said this, not that. But as we all know, she eventually gave in. Why? Well, as Jared Wilson writes, she essentially ran out of "thus saith the Lord's." In other words, when temptation and lies came, she stopped quoting God. It's possible that we are who we are today, living in the patterns that we live in, because we've been enticed by the things of this world. We had no understanding of God's word to discern that it was almost right, but wrong. All throughout this letter to Timothy, Paul has been calling him to protect and promote the gospel. And we see this can only be done with a discerning mind. One that doesn't run out of Bible verses to combat what the world is saying, to combat what false teachers are saying, to combat what our deceiving and deceptive hearts are saying. Church, what are your patterns being shaped by? This world or by God's word? Because listen, just like Satan whispered to Adam and Eve, and just like Satan whispered to Jesus, he continues to whisper lies to us, especially in times like this. I'm sure many of us are starting to hear these whispers. Will God really do this? Did God really say that? How can God be good and allow all this to happen? And if we don't know what Scripture says to combat this line of questioning, we will fall prey to buying the lies. Church, listen, if we've been reading our Bibles, we should not be surprised by anything that's going on in this world today. God's word has been very clear that in this world we will have trouble. We will experience suffering. Last summer, if you were part of our congregation here, as we studied the book of Ecclesiastes, we were literally preparing ourselves for a moment like this. We were being reminded that life is short. We were being reminded that it will be difficult. We were being reminded that we should live in light of eternity because nothing here in this world will satisfy. Nothing here in this world will fulfill. Only Jesus provides that fulfillment. Today there are a lot of people who are really scared. This is an unprecedented time. Listen, I guarantee you that if you start reading the news today where the buzzwords are chaos and panic, that fear will only grow in you. But what if we combat all this noise and all these lies with God's word? Think back, many of you were here a few weeks ago when we began this memorization challenge. And week one, we started memorizing this verse from Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We were reminded in Isaiah that God is far bigger and greater than anything we can imagine. And he does not sleep or slumber in his care for us. What if we started to speak those words over our fears and anxieties? This last week, many of us started memorizing another verse from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when Satan whispers, we say, no, this is truth. When you hear panic, and you worry that you'll be in need, do you believe Psalm 23? Have you let it sink into your heart and your mind that you are being led by a good shepherd who knows you by name and leads you beside still waters? A shepherd who, when you are in his care, you lack nothing. Church, are we being shaped by these truths? Or by the cares and concerns of culture? Listen, a lot of people's actions right now have shown that there is a rampant growing of love for self. As we store up and we hoard because we don't want to be without. Some even doing so in order to make a profit. Why? Because we've run out of scripture that combats what we're hearing all around us. May this not be true of us. In this time of pausing, we should absolutely reflect on where we've been to this point. In fact, this has probably been kind of easy for you this last week. In the silence of these last few days, I bet things started bubbling up out of you. I know this has taken place in my heart and my life. As I sat in silence, as the busyness has been taken away, all of a sudden I realized anxiety and fear and anger, all kinds of emotions are bubbling up that I didn't even know I had in me. As we've been quarantined, we start to realize, wow, my identity has been wrapped up in all kinds of things. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's our hobbies, our enjoyment of life, our comforts. Maybe it's even our work, and that's been snatched away, and now we don't even know who we are. At the root of all of this ugliness is the fact that we've fallen in love with ourselves at the expense of loving God and our neighbors. And there is only one way to combat these ugly patterns. We throw them at the feet of Jesus and we steep ourselves in his word. Church, listen, no matter what, you and I will come out of this season a different person. I'm not talking new mustache, backward hat, tacky Hawaiian shirt different. I'm talking different in that you've either grown more in love with yourself or more in love with Jesus. In this time of pausing, it's time to reflect on the patterns by which we've lived our lives. In the words of a great songwriter, John Foreman, he says, "This is your life. Are you who you want to be?" Pause in this moment, reflect, and come to God praising him in this time of reset. Start forming those new patterns. Be conformed to the image and the likeness of Jesus, which is found in his word. In the silence of your evenings where everything else has been canceled, fill it. But fill it with the right things. Fill it with God's word. Fill it with times of worship as a family. Fill it with praying. We just launched this new initiative this last week called Praying Circles Around Our Community. This initiative where we're going to drive around and pray for businesses in our community. For those who are shut in, we're going to drive and we're going to pray outside of their homes for those loved ones we haven't been able to see in a while. We're going to pray outside of hospitals. We're going to pray in the church parking lot. We're going to continue to lift one another up before God. We need to start these new patterns. Don't waste this opportunity to pause and reflect. Create new patterns today to pursue Jesus even harder. Church, I know that these are crazy days. And I want you to know that we love you. And we haven't forgotten you. And we pray for you. And I want you to know that if you're sitting at home and you're scared and you're confused and you're lonely, I want you to call the church as soon as possible. Hit us up on Facebook. We would love to talk with you. We'd love to video chat with you, whatever that looks like. We want you to know that we're here for you and we'd love to talk you through whatever it is that you're going through today. Because listen, church, we're in this together. We're still here. And as long as we're still here, we're going to continue to do good for those in our community and good for those in our church. We're going to continue to lift one another up in prayer. And we're going to continue to follow Jesus hard, being the hands and feet that he has called us to be. We're still here, church. So keep pressing on and keep pursuing Jesus today. We love you.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for the reminder that we need to pause, we need to reflect, and we need to create new patterns for pursuing Jesus. If you were challenged or encouraged through Pastor Aaron's message, we encourage you to type in a comment. Our team will be staying online to interact and to pray. As we think of praying, also throughout the week, we want you to feel free to share with us any requests you might have. You can submit them through the website, or you can call the church office with your requests, and we will be passing those out to the team here, and be sure to pray over those requests over the coming week. Also want to encourage you to check the updated 2020 budget answers link. That is in the e-bulletin, or you can find it on our website at www.eswamp.org/next. It has some of the answers to the questions that some of you have submitted concerning the budget, the 2020 budget, and we will talk more about that when we get back together as a congregation in person. But in the meantime, just want to let you know that several have asked me what the status is for me, and just want to let you know that I will be staying at July 1st, we'll be going part-time, and we are looking forward to how the Lord's going to continue to work here at East Swamp Church. But did want to let you know that, and again, encourage you to look at that link about the 2020 budget. Several have asked why we don't use live worship music as a part of our online services. The reason is somewhat complicated. Some of it has to do with copyright and licensing of the songs that we use. And equally important is the fact that it requires some pretty intricate and complicated equipment to make the balance and the sound sound good in order to go out online. And we just, at this point, are not ready to do that. So rather than do it poorly, we just would encourage you to look at different links that are available out there, praise songs online and through Spotify and YouTube. And we encourage you to use those links also. Maybe in the next few weeks we'll be sharing some of those also that might be helpful for you in these days. Another question that's come up is concerns the giving. Our giving, obviously, we can't pass a plate, and we didn't obviously do that this morning, but we do encourage you to maybe register for online giving if you have not done that. You can go to our website again and at eastswamp.org/give and follow the prompts there. It'll get you set up to give online. Obviously, if you're not set up to do that and want to mail your gift in, that obviously works also. We are so glad you joined us this morning. A unique setting for sure. But while we're in these times, we are so thankful for the technology that there is that allows us to do this. So we will be praying for you, and we encourage you to continue to pray for us as we go through these days. And we are confident the Lord has got this, and we take great peace in that, and we trust that you do too. We love you guys, and trust you'll have a great week. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.